All right, so we're playing a game that we always play. And this game is called What to Do, Act or React, How. So essentially, I run a bunch of scenarios and we run it through. And this is a real life scenarios, and we run it through what should someone do in that situation. And so we've been discussing different topics that some may say are controversial and so forth. And so we're just looking for an understanding of what to do when you're in these situations, because what happens in life is that everybody gets placed in situations, daily situations, where they have to decide what to do with that situation or how to handle it, how to manage it. And this is where people fail. They fail when it comes to decision making. People might know what to do, but when it comes to the very situation, the decision making is the difference between those who succeed and those who don't. It's a split second of decision making, and so we talk about now what to do, act or react, how. So the scenario for today is a very touchy scenario, and the question is very touchy because I've experienced this a lot of times when I'm counseling people and so forth. And today, this question goes out to somebody out there. And matter of fact, I won't even say somebody. This could be all of us. Actually, we all go through this at a very regular basis, and we're finding out that a lot of more people are running away from spending time with themselves. And no wonder why social media is so popular, because people don't want to spend time with themselves. The last time I seen somebody alone that was on the phone is very rare. When someone is alone, they always jump on their phone to show that they have somebody to talk to and somebody to connect with. And so this issue is growing larger and larger by the day, where people are struggling to spend time with themselves. And now there is somebody on the end of this mic that might be going through that problem. That is struggling to spend time with himself and struggling to develop themselves, and they're always looking for something external to help them ease off their pain, ease off their hurt, ease off their struggles. And today I want to launch it on the floor so we can talk about this issue that's affecting the whole wide world of people really struggling to self-isolate and develop themselves. And so I want to throw it out there that somebody that's in that situation, what would you say to them about spending time with yourself? What are the benefits of spending time with yourself? Why is it useful to spend time with yourself?
It's important because, like, you know what you like and don't like, yeah. Instead of having other people's opinions and influence upon you.
Yeah.
Less distractions if you know what you want to do. So let's say you want to be some sort of like have a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's better to be like isolated to do that by yourself rather than having the wrong people around you. Does that make sense? So I know like a few people they have goals they want to accomplish, but they fall under the peer pressure of other people who wants to go do certain activities that doesn't benefit them.
Yeah.
Like all of them. And the guy who has goals and stuff, I see him sometimes fall into that, like, you know, oh yeah, I'll come for a bit. And then, you know, next thing you hear is like they regret it or whatever, but the cycle does continue.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how to say no.
What do you think is a struggle? Why do you think people are struggling to say no?
Other people's opinions, like you know, like you hear a lot of people, like it's a big drinking culture up here.
Yeah.
And when you tell people like, oh, I don't drink, often they kind of like react weird about it. Like, oh, what do you mean you don't drink? Because there's a lot of people who does it, and so when you say you don't, you stand out automatically.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know some mates and stuff who doesn't like drinking, but he gets invited, and when it's multiple people saying it, or come out, he normally falls under that temptation and peer pressure, and then he does go, and then I often hear like, yeah, oh, I shouldn't go out last night or this past weekend, like,
yeah,
blah blah, and it's just like they lost time, they lost some money,
yeah,
and so it's best to like have that backbone. Like, if you really know, if you spend time with yourself, you know what you want, and when you really know what you want, you know what to say yes to and what to say no to.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it.
What's the question?
The scenario is those who are struggling to spend time alone, really battling for isolation, because everybody seems to be wanting to be attached to somebody, to depend on somebody. What would you say to people that are in that situation? Yeah.
Well, I think it's good to be like to have that alone time to discover like what's really in your thoughts and what you're lacking, and yeah, like what you enjoy doing in your free time. And I guess, yeah, because we're so like in these days we're so attached to social media, like when we get up, like the first thing we check is like our phone.
Yeah.
And there's just, you know, you're attending to other people's emergencies or other people's life rather than your own.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, no one can ever fill you up. Like you're already full on your own, but you just have to realize that, and you have to learn that about yourself. And, you know, when two people come together, you know, like my husband's not, he's not my other half.
Yeah.
Like we're two whole people.
Yeah.
And we share our joy together, but he's not, my joy is not dependent on him or how he's going. And it's the same both ways. So yeah, I think that's, yeah, why it's important not to be attached to someone, and yeah, have that alone time.
When you're saying your joy is not dependent on him,
yeah.
So would you say when someone is in a relationship, we'll just divert for a little bit,
yeah.
And they're depending on their partner to make them happy or to satisfy their need, is that a bad thing to do?
I think if they do that for you, it's a thing to be grateful for.
Yeah.
But if they don't, it shouldn't affect your being. But I know that can be harder, easier said than done.
Yeah.
For some people. But yeah, I think if you understand who you are, like who you're created to be, and you just have that identity fixed and founded in your heart and your mind,
yeah,
then yeah, like, I guess you can't stray from the truth about who you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you reckon, Cody? People struggling to really isolate themselves. They're running away from spending time with themselves.
I would say it's like fear of the unknown. Like people not like, you know, when, you know, they're trying to connect with someone, but they, you know, just look down, look at their phones, and they don't know how to connect. It's like the same thing with, you know, getting alone with yourself. You don't know how.
Yeah.
With this new culture that we live in. Yeah.
And so you mentioned about fear of the unknown. Would you say there's a fear of also being alone?
Yeah, definitely.
And so where would that come from? Where does the fear of being alone generate from? What can we say is the root of all this?
I'll say it's like an identity thing.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know who you are, you don't know that you're full, so you go look for something else to try to fill you in.
Yeah.
But when you have your identity, you hide yourself from God, because that's where, how you know who you really are, because he's the one that created you.
Yeah.
And yeah, you see that like pretty common, because a lot of the guys, just a lot of people follow other people and do what they do, because they don't know what they like about themselves, what they like to do, enjoy doing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they just follow the crowd, because since they're following the crowd, they can't isolate themselves. And when you can't isolate, you don't know, like, goes back to, you don't know what you want about yourself.
Yeah.
Or what you want in life.
Yeah, I agree with Earth. It is I think the root of it is that you don't know who you are. It is an identity thing. And if you don't know who you are, then you are defined by everything around you, because you don't know anything else. So it's, just lack of knowledge and lack of understanding.
Anyone else has anything to add on?
So I'm just going to talk about my past experience.
Yeah.
So I just got fired last week.
Yeah.
So I was pretty like depressed and everything. So I got a friend. I hang out with him like all the time. And he's like, actually you have to like spend time with yourself, you know, acknowledge your pain, because like losing your job is not a very great thing to be proud of. Like, it's very embarrassing. So you have to acknowledge your pain. And then spend time with yourself, meditations, you know, like, you can't just escape your emotions all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like, when I really, like, spend time with myself, like, I get so overwhelmed by my emotions.
Yeah.
It's like my grief, sadness, it's like, you know, yeah, it's like, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's actually where we're going next, because the next question I was about to ask on the floor was, we are running away from situations on the outside, and sometimes when people decide to go and spend time with themselves, they get overwhelmed.
Yes,
because of the situation and the emotion. So now, how do you manage your emotions when you're isolated? What's the process to manage your emotion, you manage your situation?
You have to acknowledge your emotions. Like why would you feel anxiety, or because like I feel uncertainty about my future, because right now what happened if I can't find a job and no one's gonna hire me anymore? So that's what I'm kind of be afraid of.
Yeah,
but everything's will eventually go well, I guess.
There we go. Who can help Ashley here and give us some? So first thing we're going to go, so there's a fair bit of topics we can break down here, but the first one will be is self-management first. How do we manage emotions?
So like all your worries or anxieties are always going to be about the future or the past. And, you know, I would just say live in the present. Don't worry too much about, you know, what tomorrow will bring, but live in the present moment.
I've learned recently with myself, because I lost my job too, and I've had a lot of time by myself. And yeah, sometimes when I get lost in my thoughts, I can get overwhelmed, but I really wanted to overcome this, so I was just seeking just to understand that. And I realized that when I was younger, I wasn't taught how to manage my emotions at a young age, and we were taught to suppress it, and it's wrong, it's not right. And I didn't get to learn that, and I when I heard that, I felt convicted in my heart. And you know, when at my old job, we have this training called therapeutic crisis intervention, and we help children manage their emotions. But how would you explain the training? You know, like, so if the kid is like going, if he's escalating, like his behavior is escalating, like if it's too far gone and it's just he's already up there and his emotions are bursted out, like all you can do is just kind of make his environment safe for him. Like, you have to work around him until he comes back down. comes back, yeah, comes back down.
Yeah.
But when he is back down at base level, baseline behavior, you know, that's when he can, like, you're kind of open to chat with the kid and tell them, oh, do you know why you acted like this? Or do you know what you do when you feel like this? Like, what can you do next time? And, like, I was just learning all these methods, and I realized, like, I didn't get taught that. And there was another teaching I encountered, and this man, for he had three plants for his three young children, and there was one that you had, like, one called positive, so you only spoke positive emotions to it. You said, like, I love you and you're beautiful. And then there was another plant, it was like negative emotions, and you just, you know, spit out all your hate on this plant. And then the third one was like controlled plant, like you don't do anything with it. But what one of the kids realized was that with the negative emotions, it like grew a little bit, but it died, and it started growing maggots inside. And the kid realized in herself that, oh, I don't want to be like that. Like, that's what happens when you, like, feed your negative emotions and stuff. So that was really cool. And the strategy he had, which I used when I was in that state, was that when you realize your emotions are getting heightened, you need to take yourself out of that situation and put it in a completely different situation, like go for a walk or do something that you love, and just totally distract your mind from going into that state any deeper. Yes, but that's what I'm, like, practicing too still at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. See, when it comes to emotion, emotion in itself, we need to understand the system that controls our mind, and let's open up Matthew 6, and this is a verse we all know, and we're gonna read from 25, sorry. Heaven or earth, Matthew 6:25. And Jesus' words are very powerful, very, very powerful words that he says here. Let me know when you guys are there. 6:25, it says this. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then he says, look at the birds in the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add a cubic to his stature? That verse always hits me, verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add any cubic to his stature? And then he says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither do toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, all you of little faith? And then he says this, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's a very big verse there. It's saying a lot of stuff there. But before I even dig into this verse, we need to understand what happens in our mind. So the conscious mind of a man is based on human reasoning. See, the conscious mind, I always like to talk about the conscious and subconscious mind. The conscious mind of a man is based on human reasoning. And so the conscious mind is limited also. So now, that creates a conundrum. Why? Because the conscious mind of a man is trying to figure a way to get things done, but it's limited. It cannot see further than what's in front of it. And you can use, to describe your conscious mind, you can use your sight, for example. If I'm looking forward, this is all I can see. If somebody's behind me, I cannot see it. Somebody's on the side of me, I cannot see it. All I can see is what's in front of me. And that gives me a tunnel vision. And so that's how the conscious mind also works. It works in the process of a tunnel vision. It lets you only see what's in front of you. But what's on the side of you, you don't know. What's behind you, you don't know. What's coming ahead, you don't know. You can only see things that are directly in front of you. And so what happens? You're in a situation where you feel like, oh no, I shouldn't have been in this situation. The situation itself has no power to affect you. The situation can never affect the human being. What affects the human is the meaning behind the situation. It's always the meaning. Somebody swears at me. So what? Somebody swears at another person. That person has a greater meaning for what swearing means to them. So because they've added emotion to what swearing means, it's intensified. Now emotions explode. So the power really is not really even to learn how to control emotions, which is what we hear. We need to learn how to manage emotion, but not control them. Because that terminology of controlling emotions, one cannot really control their emotion. Emotion is consistent for everybody. Everybody's emotional. But what we need to learn to do, we need to learn how to change the meaning of the information. Because memory is, it's information multiplied by emotion. That gives you a permanent memory. For example, if I was to punch Earth right now, that would engrave a memory in his mind of this very scenario. And I can test him in 12 years' time. I said, Earth, do you remember that time? He would tell you exactly. Hey, you punched me here, it felt this. All the feelings from this very moment can be transported 12 years in time. Why? Because emotion got attached to it. And emotion attached to it is not really what's affecting the person, but it's the meaning of what that information means. So emotions to everything we do is added on. And so now we need to understand how the mind works. Because if we don't understand how the mind works, what we end up doing is we'll end up fighting against the mind, which is something I've recently learned is don't do that. And this is a lot of toiling where you want to think a certain way, but the thoughts are also hitting you another way. So you're battling against it and you're beating yourself up. Because you go into condemnation and you're like, don't do it, stop thinking about it, change your mind. And you're fighting against the mind. But power is not about fighting against the mind, because the mind is like a program. It's like a phone, right? The phone, when it got built, there was a program that got put inside the phone. And it said, this is how you work. When you press this button, it turns on. You press this button, it goes to the home button. Now, you trying to change the way the phone functions would never change it. But what we can do, we can change the meaning behind what it does. We can't change the functionality of it, and we can change how that affects us by transforming the meaning. Now, I've seen two people in the very same scenarios and they experience the same situation. One person sees an opportunity for growth, another person sees an opportunity for condemnation. Another person sees an opportunity for blaming. The situation in itself is the same. And the truth is, in this world, we all go through the same thing. Everybody experiences all the different states we'll experience. Now, what is this verse saying? It's saying, don't worry about tomorrow. Why not to worry about tomorrow? Because your conscious mind that's trying to figure out a solution about tomorrow cannot even see tomorrow. So how can you figure a solution about tomorrow? See, a man was designed to only go where they can see. That's how we were designed. We were designed to only go where we can see. And even the mind works that way. It can only go where you can see. So trying to solve an issue about a place you cannot go is foolishness. And so this Bible is very precious, because this Bible, Jesus now teaches us another level of seeing. And in the book of Hebrew, we won't go there now, but it talks about exercising your senses. And when he talks about exercising your senses, he's talking about exercising your spiritual senses, meaning what? That in you, there is a capacity to tap into a power that allows you to see beyond today. But that power is not locked in the conscious mind. It's locked in the subconscious mind. Matter of fact, this physical eye that we use to do things with is not our real eyes. This is just a vessel. It's a tunnel. It doesn't determine anything. Matter of fact, when I look at this Bible, the vision in itself means nothing. I have to still give it a meaning. So meaning really controls what you see. And so now it's telling us not to worry, because the conscious mind cannot see that far. And then he says, your heavenly Father knows what you need. Now, it's talking about God. So that we don't get confused about who this God is talking about. This God is not somebody external from you. This God that the Bible talks about is within you. He dwells within you. This God is a power that is resigned within you. Everybody has this power. Matter of fact, I always tell people say, well, I don't know about God, I don't know about all this stuff. I say, you guys make me laugh, because you woke up this morning. Do you understand how your body wakes up? It's a very interesting concept. It's a simultaneous switch. All the members of the body are switched on at the same time, at exact a split second lateness, and you can cause your problem, health problems. It's all simultaneously governed. And so how is it governed? It's governed by the power within. There's a power within that we are still trying to discover. See, that's why I love science, because science is discovering. And the beauty of about discovering is this, is that you can only discover what you haven't created. If I give you this, I used to build a lot of robots, and a friend of mine came in, and he said, Joe, what does your robot do? I said, yeah, play around with it, you'll discover what he does. He doesn't know what he does, he only discovers. So just like we also have to discover what we're capable of doing. And this process of discovery, the first thing is to not worry, because why are you not worrying? We're not worrying because we know we have a power within. And the power that's within us knows what you need. And this power within us is able to get things done without your consent. It doesn't need your permission to get things done. It doesn't need your limited mind to get things done. And so it says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So what I will say to you, Ashley, is there's a power within you that knows you more than you know you. And he knows what you need. Matter of fact, you don't even know what you need. That's the funny thing. That we worry so much about what we can get, but we don't even know what we need. Because that's the trivia of life. Because someone seeks for one thing and then he says, oh, that's not what I need. He seeks for another thing, that's not what I need. How far are we going to keep seeking without getting instruction from the power within? And this power, we must say, oh, this power within, do I ever get contact with it? I said, yeah, you do. I was doing a study of my mind. I was studying my mind and how it functions one day, and I was really thinking about it and doing some experiments about the mind. and in my, especially my mind. And I realized that in every situation, I find myself having conversations with myself. And so I ask myself, who am I having conversations with? That's the question you gotta ask yourself. Next time, ask the person that you're having conversation with, who are you? Ask them. Because people say, well, I can't hear God. I say, what are you talking about? I remember one time I was doing an assignment, and I was at the end of an assignment. I was at the start of the assignment, sorry. I was really struggling to get it done, and I couldn't figure out how to do it. I went in, I went for a sleep, and while I was sleeping, I stopped worrying about anything. I woke up and I had a conversation with myself. I came back in, looked at the screen, and I had an hour to go. At that very moment, I believed that I have the power within me to get things done. How I was going to get it done, that's not my problem. It's not my business to figure out how things will be done. Matter of fact, that's the meaning of the word omnipotent. And we do it all the time. You wake up, you don't have to figure out how you wake up. Your blood flows. It's you that flows your blood through your whole body. And we don't have to figure out how we do it. But you do it. Your mind does it. How does it do it? No one knows. People don't even bother research how their mind works, but it works anyway. So whether you think you know yourself or whether you think things are working out for you, there's always a power within you that's always doing the work. And that's what the Bible is talking about. It says the Father, He does the work. He doeth the work. And the Father, don't think about a physical person, because what's in you is not physical. This body is just a vessel that holds a higher power. That's why you see when people pass away, when they die, their physical heart is not what causes death. They truly die when something else goes out of their body. Their physical heart is still there. And so worrying is a result of trying to figure out, what can I do for myself? But we're limited. You can't do anything for yourself. And the second point is, we haven't learned to manage the meaning of what the circumstance means to us. What does it mean? But if you learn how to give it a meaning, this day, look at your situation, write it on paper, and then write the meaning of it. Give it a meaning. If I lose my job, this means so and forth. And let me give an example. There was a year where I went through one whole year, I couldn't find a job anywhere. With all my skills, all my talents, all my qualifications, it's impossible for me to not find a job. But I just couldn't land a job. So I sat there, wrote down on paper. I mean, before I was condemning myself for not being good enough. And then I realized, hold on, let me give it a meaning. What do you want from this? And I wrote, okay, I'm too expensive for anybody to pay me. And so I started my own company. Now we boomed. See, it took that very incident for that to happen, for me to go, all right, maybe I'm holding on to this very scenario, this very situation, but it's not at my level anymore. And sometimes that's reality. You cry about something that's not at your level anymore. But the power that's in you knows what's at your level. And it's saying, Bernadette, reach out. You can do better than this. Ashley, you can do better than this. Stop limiting yourself to whatever you're stuck into. You must move. You must grow. And so I started a company. And when I started, people looked at me and said, oh, what? How you start a company? Go get a full-time job. I looked at them and I laughed. Why? Because what I wrote on paper was what was truth to me. I wrote on paper that I was too expensive for anybody to pay me. And so now, what used to be just an assumption is now reality. I am too expensive for anybody to pay me. And the stuff I'm doing now at this age, ain't nobody else doing it. Now I'm the younger achiever of the year. Now I'm a CEO. Now I'm this and this. I wrote down, I was doing my research papers and I wrote down, I said, well, hold on. I can't just do this research paper and not go anywhere. So I wrote on paper, from now on, I'm a doctor. People look at me, nah, you're too young to be a doctor. You're not even in PhD yet. I wrote, I'm a doctor. And so what happens? It's like I gave an instruction to the power within me. I said to the power, as long as I'm willing to believe that I am a doctor, the power within me will figure out a way to get me there. If people have to fly from all over the country to get me there, they will. And guess what they did? They did exactly that. Now I'm a doctor. And so my point is, we must rely on the power within. And the power within is what we call God. It's not some being sitting in a chair upstairs trying to answer your questions. No, it's not that. It's the same being that wakes you up in the morning. It is the same power that gets your blood flow. And so if we move on to answering how to manage your emotion, we've talked about meaning. And meaning is probably the biggest thing out there. And when you have a meaning, you must stay true to it. And just for the sake of going through it, if we open up Romans 4, this is what I had to tell myself on a constant basis. Because this life here runs off assumption. And people don't know this. Life runs off assumption. You assume you're depressed. You are depressed. You choose the state you want to go in. If you assume you are a certain thing, it's only a matter of time until it manifests. It's like a seed. You plant the seed, you water it, it will manifest. You will see the results of it. And so Romans 4, this is a verse I always sit on because it reminds me of the decision I say and the things I wrote on paper. And it says this. Romans 4, read from verse 3. And he says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. And this verse is very deep. What do you think it means, Cody? Or whoever has read it already.
You're toiling?
Yeah. What about toiling? What do you?
You're playing the how to role, rather than the let God role.
Yeah. Anyone else has anything to add on it?
Just like you were saying before, that you know, we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. We shouldn't worry about what we should eat nor be clothed with. But your Heavenly Father takes care of that. And if you're worrying all about those things, then yeah, you're toiling, and
it's
all
yours.
Your works are counted for as debt.
Yeah, and just keep the book in my highlights. So you're saying, Cody, sorry about that. You're saying about.
Just like you were saying before with your Heavenly Father. No, you don't worry about tomorrow or what you eat or what you be clothed with, but your Heavenly Father will provide that. And I guess you worrying about that is you doing the, like Bernadette said, how to your works, and it's counted to you as debt.
That's a very interesting concept. Is when you try to do the work, it's counted as debt. That's a very interesting concept. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Is when you try and work really hard to be successful or get something free or get your mind free, or even, for example, if we're talking about emotion here, you would think that when someone tries really hard to get their mind free, that they will actually be free. But it's saying all that work is counted to you as debt. That's a very interesting concept.
You enjoying our content? Thank you. If you want more, follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok. You love what we do and you want to support us. You can buy exclusive content on Patreon and support us on Patreon, subscribe Star and Crypto. Find us at our website, www.realitycreation.co. You are listening to Joel B. Nisha from Reality Creation.
What do you reckon, Earth? What about you, Sizzle? Let's have a read again. It says, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Now to him, verse 4 is very interesting. "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt." So grace is the unmerited favor. It's whenever the supernatural force steps in to help you get somewhere, we call it grace. And so it's the easiest way to get things done. And so, but now it's saying, if you try to do it in your own force here, there's a wage to it. And it's going to put you in debt. And it's not talking about physical debt, it's talking about mental debt. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it just came to me. Abraham believed God because God made him two promises.
Yeah.
He will have a son, and then the son will have many, you know, descendants.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he, what he did after he got Sarah,
yeah,
got impatient. They did it their own way.
Yeah.
And then now they had to get rid of that person, like they had to pass on, to make room for God's promise, which was Isaac.
Yeah.
Which was what Abraham believed God would deliver that promise in the first place.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting concept you said there, because Abraham messed up. Even though he was given a promise, he messed up on the promise. But that didn't change God's mind. See, doesn't matter how many times you fail, it doesn't change the fact that you have a power in you that wants you to succeed and wants you to do well. And that is who God is. It is the higher power in you that wants you to do well. And so, but it says here, if you're going to do it my way, it's going to be the way of grace. If you want to do it your way, you're going to end up in debt. And so how does that work? Let's look at the human body. The human body is a very interesting compound. It teaches us a lot about life. The human body, when it's functioning according to its intended system, it does not need any external help to get anything done. What do I mean? For example, if you to cut yourself, there's a button straight away pressed in your subconscious system that says, play the repairing code. So now it plays the code of repairing. So it starts a repairing process. It starts repairing itself. It's already programmed. You didn't have to tell your mind, you didn't have to force it. Fix yourself. It's already programmed. How to fix itself is just like life. Life is already programmed. We just need to learn how to ride that wave. Don't be going against the wave, just ride it. And the way of riding life is grace, is because everything is already been done. There's nothing to do, there's nothing new to be done. You just have to be able to see what's already been done and ride it. And so, talking about the body again, when the body is functioning according to its program, it runs itself. self-fix, self-mechanic, self-everything, self-service. He knows. He knows when I need this, this is the case. When I need this, this is the case. And matter of fact, the mind works the same way. How? Let's talk about, we've been discussing about fear. Let's go back on the topic of fear to explain the mind. And we're just going to connect this with the 1 John 4 verse that we've been talking about for the past weeks. And 1 John 4:18. Keep your finger on the other page. We'll come back there in Romans 4. Go ahead. Yeah, 1 John 4:18.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love.
Let's talk about that second line there, because fear has to do with punishment. Or another thing says torment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. What do you guys reckon on that stuff? Fear has to do with punishment.
Insecurity to make a change of that situation.
What do you mean by insecurity to make a change?
Like lack of confidence that you have. Like you don't have that confidence to change that situation that you're in.
Yeah.
That's where insecurity is, like that lack of confidence.
Yeah, and we know faith is the confidence, and it's a substance of things hoped for. Who else can say something about that the fear of punishment? Yeah, anything. What do you reckon? Fear has to do with punishment. Why does fear has to do with punishment or torment?
Punishing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fear is always an external source.
Yeah.
But love is what is in all of us. That's what's inside all of us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And fear has to do with punishment and torment. And Cody, you said something very interesting about self-punishment. And before I even go into that, I remember we spoke about fear being external from us. And fear in itself is not a negative thing. We think fear is a negative thing, but fear is one of the most positive things that ever happens to humans. Why? Because fear lets you know that there is a thought in you that's not supposed to be there. It's an alarm system that God designed. It's an alarm system that was designed within your mind. How do I let somebody know that what they're doing is not right? Let's put some fear there. So fear in itself is not fully wrong, because I've touched the stove, I got burnt, now I've got the fear. Oh, whoa, you touch the stove, you're going to get burned. So now it's saving you, it's protecting you. Fear in itself was a system that was developed to help the human see that at that very moment there is thoughts that are impacting and affecting their mind that's not supposed to be there. And if we reconnect that to what I was saying before, is those thoughts originate from the meaning you give it, right? Let's say we use Ashley's situation, right? Let's say the job's not working out, I lost the job. Now, losing the job in itself could mean tons of things. It could mean that a week from now you get another job. It could mean that you're about to increase your pay rate. It means that you might be flying to a different country now. It means that there could be so many outlets of meaning to what it means. Now, if we don't give it a meaning in itself, the world is going to give it a meaning. And so when I mean the world is going to give it a meaning, it's going to be everything that's stored up in your subconscious mind from what people have said in the past. Job security, this, loss of income, how are you going to survive? All that stuff is what's going to be giving it a meaning, because you haven't given it a meaning personally. And so at that point of time, you start punishing yourself. And I remember I even started questioning myself. Am I not good enough? Do I need to get more degree? Do I need to go see somebody else? Maybe if I stuck with this company, I should have been better. Maybe if I acted nicely to my manager. Maybe this is... And so all these thoughts start coming up. And so you're looking for reasons to punish yourself. But fear in itself was just a system that was developed for you to know that the state you're in is not where you should be. The thoughts that are in your mind is not what it should have been. Matter of fact, my perception of life changed when I realized that everything that happens to me is trying to tell me one and one very thing. And when I realized everything is always trying to tell me one thing, I solve all my problems with one change and one meaning. Because everything in life, in your life, in my life, everything in life is trying to tell you that you have a higher power within you. That's all it's trying to tell you. And someone said, well, how does losing a job tell me that? Well, guess what? It's telling you that you have the power to create your own job. You have the power to manifest the job when you want. You have the power to change your emotions when you want. You have the power. It's all to do with power. And everything in life is always trying to tell man and humans, it's always trying to tell humans that you have the power. Because we are always looking for somebody else to give us power. And that's when we struggle in terms of value. And if we were to go back to our original questions we're talking today about people not willing to spend time with themselves, is that very scenario as well, talking about people feeling like they lack power, they lack value in themselves. Or even a deeper root is feeling like I don't have a solution to my problem. And when you don't feel like you have a solution to any of your problems, you're looking for somebody to give you a solution to your problem. But the solution to your problem is where? Within. It's always been within. Because you have the power. And it took me a while to really believe that. But once I got the hang of it, I realized I do have the power. I would look at something and say, I want to publish a research here. Let me go get it done. I'll come back. 6 months later, I published a research in Japan. That's what I said. I have the power. And someone said, well, you're a genius. Stop that. It's nothing to do with genius. It's to do with what Abraham did. He believed. That's what faith is all about. Just believe that the power in you will get it done. Or I'm looking for a job. Or I'm going to apply for all the jobs. Am I going to panic? No stress. Why? Because the power within me is at work. If you stress yourself, you punish yourself and you put yourself in debt. Because now, after going through all these scenarios of why you got fired or why whatever, your mind is now, you can't even sleep. You try to sleep, a thought comes in, you're a failure. You try to, you're in debt, you got to pay up. Your mind's got to constantly pay up. And you can't be free. But the right way to do it is let your mind do what it does best. Let the power within you do what it does best. And let God do what it does best. He always supplies. Wherever there's belief, there's always supply. wherever there's belief, there's always supply. You believe that you're healthy, you are healthy. The supply of health comes in. You believe that you're doing well, you are doing well. Matter of fact, this power is so powerful that it's determined and it's controlled by your belief system. Meaning what? You believe that you're struggling, struggle will come your way. That's why you attract struggle. Because that's what you believe. The power is waiting on instructions. And who gives the instruction? You do. So when I write down on my instructions, all right, I want to publish the research, I give instruction. And so every morning I wake up, I remind my mind, you know what to do? This is what I want to do. Get to work. And so faith is a servant. We used to think that God is telling us, do this, do this. But after a lot of study, I started realizing that though He's the Father, whenever you apply faith, God becomes a servant. That's a very interesting concept. Because why? He will get things done for you. You don't need to beat yourself up to get things done. There's power higher than you that can see tomorrow, that can see next week, that can see before whatever's happening and get things done. If you don't have to fix yourself up when you cut yourself, what makes you think you gotta fix your life up when you hurt yourself or when you lose a job? We've never had to do anything as humans. I don't know where that mentality came from, where people are telling you, you gotta beat yourself up to get somewhere. Who came up with that mentality? You don't have to be lazy, but you don't have to toil. You don't have to beat yourself up mentally to get somewhere. Because you always had the power. You always did. Matter of fact, a man can do nothing without belief. You can't even walk unless you believe you can walk. And how powerful it is. The belief system runs the whole earth. And that's very interesting there. It's an interesting concept there. And so going back to isolation. Now after hearing all this, what's the importance of isolation?
To hear God's voice, because like I said, when you're surrounded with other people, you hear their voice, their thoughts, their influence. And like Moses, Ezekiel, Paul, even Jesus isolated themselves to find out what their purpose in life is.
Yeah.
And people look at it as a bad thing, but like I look at it as like it's really a good thing, hanging out with yourself and no distractions and know what you want. And so when you do go back out there with the world, the influence and stuff like that shouldn't like affect you.
Yeah, because you know the verse. I think I'm pretty sure you love this verse about bad company corrupts good character. What would you say about bad company's great good character when it comes to spending time with other people and hearing what people have to say and trying to get people opinion about how you should manage your life or deal with your emotions and so forth?
Is that the question again?
How do you feel about that verse of bad company corrupting good character when it comes to managing your mind and so forth? How does negative company corrupt that character?
Well,
corrupts your mind.
With bad company is like other people who don't know what they want as well.
Yeah.
And then they'll try to drag you down. And that's what you see a lot with the world. Like people don't want others to succeed. So because they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So it's just like the cycle just keeps passing on and passing on. And like people, they don't like when you someone who is negative and like doesn't know who they want, they're insecure, and then they see someone else doing like really good, they want to bring that people down, and they start like trying to influence them, giving like bad advice or whatever, or like come hang with us or whatever, like, you know. And they use use peer pressure, and there's often more of them negative people with the negative mindset than the person with good mindset and trying to strive for their goals and stuff.
Would you say that people like that, are they actually giving bad advice, or they don't know what advice they're giving to begin with?
They don't know what like good or bad is, to be honest, because it's probably just passed on to them, and they never like dig deep and really understand what this advice is like, you know, where it comes from. They never test it for themselves. They just quickly believe it. And like, you see a lot of people just follow the crowd real quick without thinking like, hey, like, is that really cool what they're doing? Like, how would that benefit my life if I do that as well? No one really like sits there. No one really isolate themselves to find that out for themselves.
So you reckon isolation is important to be able to figure that out?
I think, in a way, because like, if you know what you want, like if you want to be healthy, you're not gonna like go find a gym partner or something who's not really committed or eating unhealthy. They have like bad lifestyles and stuff like that. You will want to be around the person who has the same goals as you. So why should you like associate with that? Like, but if you know what you really want, you would like the isolation there from you and that person. It should be like automatic. Naturally, I feel like.
If
that makes sense.
Give it to her, man. She's been crying for the mic for the past 20 minutes.
20 minutes, maybe 30 seconds. I was in the same situation you're in right now. I went through it. I lost my job. And not to like sound scary, but I couldn't find a job. No, I'm being very honest. And that's when I started my own business as well. But just to go back to the bad company thing, because when I lost my job, I was getting advice from a friend who didn't have a job either. And it wasn't until he mentioned something that I look back now, I was like, I was really getting advice from someone who couldn't even find a job themselves. But I went into isolation for, it was a long time, I think, maybe 3 months. I wasn't working, I wasn't doing anything. Before I went into isolation, I used to play video games. For 3 months, like I was playing PS4, and then went into isolation and I was watching sermons, trying to understand and having conversations with God, and then I came out and then I opened my business, started my business, and just the bad company thing. Like, I don't want to say no one's bad. But there's people who are not good for you. That's what, like, do you know what I mean? Like, no one's bad, but there's people who right now I would limit my time with them. I'd still talk to them, have a phone call, but I wouldn't spend as much time as I would like last year with them. But it's just nothing against them. You have to look at them as we're on a journey. We're growing, and some people grow faster, some people grow at different pace. So you just have to look at it this way. The way I see it is that I've just grown faster, and they're still growing.
Bad company corrupts good character. So I, you know, when I guess if you understand that you're still establishing your foundation in God.
Yeah.
Like, you can be easily swayed by other people's opinions about God if yours isn't established first. And so, so once that's, you know, done good, and you have that, like, that conscious mind now, and that you're aware, and that you're also aware that these bad companies aren't aware of what they're doing. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's good to have that awareness, but it is also good, to manage your time with them, because you don't want to waste your time. And if you're conscious that what you're doing they're not hearing anything you're saying if you're giving like good advice, or what they're giving you is not anything you need or anything that is going to allow you to grow, then yeah, like I guess you are wasting your time in a way. But it, yeah, it is good to manage your time. Like I have a lot of there's just people in my life who like constantly speak worries and doubts and all that stuff, and then like I started to get like it just sunk into my mind what they said, and like a little part of me believed that, and I didn't like it because it manifested a feeling from me, like out of me, and I realized, oh well, like this was the root of it. It was because I was hanging out with this person and they're constantly like putting that in your head, you know. And yeah, so then I had to go get alone with God and, you know, have my sword here and, you know, find out what's good to counteract those thoughts. So one would be like, because I'm pregnant right now. And, and there's a lot of worries and doubts that like the doctors and your family give you, and like, don't do this, don't do that. And it was just so much. But for me, it was enough for me to say that God in me is my health and believe that. And, you know, and every time that worry like came in, I would just say, like, God is my health. Went away, you know.
Yeah, I like what you said there, and that is our sword. I love how she and our shield, actually, because because I feel like ever since, so it's when I first came here, I was in a lot of debt, about $20,000.
Look,
we'll have a chat afterwards, but I had like. I came here November the 2nd. That's when I first came. And I like what she said about the foundation, because like at the beginning of my journey, like, cause I go to Seventh-day Adventist, and I cut off all my music, right? I started to listen to like hymn music in the car because I thought it was bad. So I had let what they believe God and the Bible was affect what I thought it was, like my opinion of it. And it wasn't until I went, you have to get alone. Yeah. That's when I got alone, I isolated, and then I understood that you sort of know, like for example, I can go into a situation when people speak negative, but it won't affect me. Whereas before, I'd go home like, oh my goodness, my dad. Like when they used to call me all the time, I used to panic, and then it got to the point where all debts are cancelled. That's all it never moved me that they were calling me. And these were like lawyers calling me for money and I had nothing. But isolation, and you have to believe it as well. And visualize it. So when I read something that maybe I'm going through or something that impacts me, I can visualize. So when I was in debt, I had to visualize, when it says all debts are cancelled, I had to visualize being out of debt. So what would that look like? And then when it talks about, because I couldn't find a job, I got rejected from McDonald's, KFC, Woolworths.
Even Woolworths.
Everything, right? And I read a verse about the gift. A man's gift will bring him in front of great men. So, yeah. So then I imagined myself literally just in front of people. I got visions of me talking in front of people, and then I got a call to do some work for the mayor, and then things just, yeah.
So you're saying things just changed because you went into this book, you find out some couple of verses, and then you repeat it to yourself, and you visualize them. That's what you're saying. You're saying, you said all debts are canceled, you visualized yourself being out of debt because you got that verse from the Bible.
Yeah, but I'm trying to make sure I understand the way you're saying it before I agree. No, yeah, so basically I would meditate on the word. So, because normally I'd read and be like, oh, okay, like, but you have to get, not emotional, don't like, you don't have to cry, but you have to.
No. Emotion is good.
Yeah, emotion is good, but like, you don't have to.
All
like,
debts are cancelled.
I used to jump around when I used to read that verse. But you have to, because emotions are like an amplifier, right? So when information comes in, if you don't, I've noticed it too, because when I get information, right, and I've had to do it with uni, I'll get information, but I won't put emotion to it, and I won't remember that. I won't remember that single lecture or anything. But when I put emotion or excitement or something, I can go, oh, in an exam. That's what I've noticed. So that's what I do with the Word of God. And ask questions. I used to harass him all the time. He used to try to leave church, right? I'll pull him and be like, I've got a question. Don't hesitate. Like, I'm trying to ask me questions. Because I was that desperate to change because nothing was working. And I was trying to toil. I was toiling for everything. It was a mess. And then I feel like it doesn't even feel like work what I do now. It just feels like fun. But yeah.
Cool. Just to finish up, I know we mentioned a lot about isolation. Just to finish up on isolation, you guys mentioned about isolation is key. I isolate myself. The question is, the last question here is, what do you do when you isolate yourself? What do you do? You mentioned about I spend time with God. How does that look like? Like, what do you do?
I think every time you spend time with God, you're not seeking anything. You're discovering, because everything's already within you. So you're no longer, because I used to try to go beg to God, like, can you cancel my debts today? Can you cancel them tomorrow? But when I realized that God's within you, you discover, because everything's already been done. Because He created everything at the beginning, right? Everything. So you're discovering rather than seeking. Because when you seek in the sense of discovering. But I was seeking in the sense like I was lacking. I was wanting something, which was a bit of toiling. And literally, talk to yourself. Like, when she said that to me, I was like, yeah. I was a bit like, are you sure, like, he's going to talk back? But he does. And you sometimes you cry, but you can feel his presence. And when you talk, don't beg for his love, because you're already loved, right? So you thank him and you say, thank you, Father, for dying on the cross for me, because you're already loved.
What it looks like for me, anyway. I feel like it is quite personal for everyone.
Yeah.
You know? Everyone has their own way of connecting with somebody else. And I guess you have that own way of connecting with God as well. So for me, like, I get my essentials in the morning that I just love. I love to start my day with God. And I get up, wash my face, get alone, pray. And just, you know, invite him into my day, and, you know, allow myself to be conscious that I started my day with him so that I can finish it with him.
So how does that look like when you're saying invite him into my day?
So in my...
Come in!
Just open my door.
Do you meditate on a verse? Or?
Yeah. I just meditate on it, and I kind of just open my heart and like.
Can you explain to us what she means? We don't know what she means. I ain't gonna lie. She's just saying a lot of open,
I'm like,
close.
I open my heart.
Like, when she's saying these things, like, I know it, I see it.
Only you can understand, man.
But I don't know. For me personally, I wake up and I just start thanking. Just continuously thank and rejoice. I just say thank you for, you know, being awake, being alive. Thank you for a good day that, you know, before the day has begun. I'm just thanking him about what a good day it's going to be. So I'm basically assuming that there's going to be a good day, and I'm thanking him for the challenges and opportunities of growth that come into my life, and I thank him for the overcoming that situation before it's already occurred. And yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
How does isolation look like for you? It's alone time.
How it looks like. I like to. I normally read from the phone.
Yeah.
The Bible, but now I actually like, because there's distraction will come, like notifications. So I like toss that to the side, and I start reading from the actual book again, like just how I started. Yeah. And just really like read on the book. I like also to watch a YouTube video on a topic, whatever, like I'm interested in learning about it. And also like maybe like trying to apply some things to grow in certain areas, like always increasing my faith and make sure like you can go backwards, so either maintain or grow. That's the standards I want to hold to myself. And yeah, just look at, I don't know, like some way I can improve and see situations and stuff and meditate on it. Like, you know, like you run into people's problems or something, like someone will come and tell you about it and maybe you don't know the answer. And I like to study it because like, it's good to help people. Like, it's a nice, joyful feeling to give value to people, even though like you might not don't know it, how to help them. But when you go back to the word, you can learn it for yourself. And so in the future, if that person do come around or someone else, you're ready to like, you know, be more effective of helping the world.
Yeah, I use a similar kind of concept. I love problems. And every time I say that to people think I'm crazy. I love problems because remember, when I realized that everything in life is just trying to tell me that there's the power in me that can overcome everything. And so I like to put that to the test. And so when problems comes, to the point where some problems don't even want to come to me because they know I'm going to solve it. Problems don't want to come anymore because they know I'm going to solve it. When it's a very interesting thing. Those who run away from problems get more problems. Those who know how to solve problems run away from them. This is a very interesting concept. So I dedicate my life to knowledge. Matter of fact, a verse just ticked into my head. We'll end with this, Ecclesiastic 7. And this one is a very, very powerful chapter. You should study it in your own time. It made my mind go crazy. There we go. Yeah, the book of Ecclesiastes is very dangerous. 7, and let's skip all this stuff. Okay, let's read from 10. 10 should be good. 7 read from 10, Yeah, we'll start from there. Very, very beautiful wisdom. And I was going to start later on, but I said, no, let me start from 10. It's very powerful stuff. And it says, from verse 10, it says, "You the earth?" Actually, one of you guys want to read it?
Yeah. "Do not say, 'Why were the former days better than these?' For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of God is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him.
We'll just stop there. It's already too deep. But let's just focus on wisdom. Wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. And in verse 12, it's, for wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. What do you guys reckon about that? Wisdom gives life to those who have it. Wisdom gives life to those who have it.
I think wisdom is making the right a choice at the right time.
Yeah.
And like, to choose to give life to those who have it is like when adversity comes,
yeah,
you have to use wisdom to know like what choices to make,
yeah,
when it comes, like, because God wants you to grow, and the way you look, you can look at oppositions or trouble is like you either can grow, like a chance to grow, or you just like want to run. So the one who wants to face it, who wise enough to, and this is a good time to grow in whatever area,
yeah,
will have more life to them because you have more knowledge of after like overcoming it and stuff like that.
Yeah, 100%.
But like for those who don't want to face it, they just, it's just like being really scared, like insecurity.
Yeah.
That verse again, that John 4.
Yeah.
And there's that punishment to themselves, that self-condemnation.
Yeah, I always like to say my definition of wisdom is this, is wisdom is the application of knowledge based on understanding. Matter of fact, I was going to dig deep into it, but this verse here, have a look at it during the week. We'll continue. I got a question on wisdom next week. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. How to get access to this wisdom that grants us life. That's it for today. Thank you.
You enjoying our content? Thank you. If you want more, follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok. You love what we do and you want to support us. You can buy exclusive content on Patreon and support us on Patreon, subscribe Star and Crypto. Find us at our website, www.realitycreation.co. You are listening to Joel Benicia from Reality Creation.